ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 62, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Drishtva Tvarena Nija Dharanataha Avatirya Prithvyam Vapuhu Kanaka Dandam Iva Abhipatya Sprishtva Chatuhu Mukha Koti Koti bihi Angri Yogmam Natva Mut Ashru Su Jalaihi Akrita Abhishekam Drishtva tvarena nija dhauranata vatirya Prithvyam vapu kanaka dandam ivabhipatya Sprishtva chatur mukuta koti bhir angri yugmam Natva mudashru sujalair akrita bhishekam Drishtva tvarena nijadhauranato vatirya Prithvyam vapu kanaka dandam ivabhipatya Sprishtva chatur mukuta koti bhir angri yugmam Natva mudashru sujalair akrita bhishekam
Hungry.
Ladies, please. Drishtva, after seeing, tvarena, with great speed, hastily, nija, dhauranataha, from his swan carrier, avatirya, descended, prithvyam, on the ground, vapuhu, his body, kanakadandamiva, like a golden rod, abhipatya, fell down, sprashtava, touching, chatuhu, mukurta, kotibihi, with the tips of his four crowns. Angri, Yugmam, the two lotus feet. Natva, making obeisances. Mut, Ashru, Su, Jalahi, with the water of his tears of joy. Akrita, performed, abhishekam, the ceremony of bathing his lotus feet. After seeing this, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, fell down like a golden rod, and touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with the tips of the four crowns on his heads. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the water of his tears of joy. Purport. Lord Brahma bowed down like a stick, and because Lord Brahma's complexion is golden, he appeared to be like a golden stick lying down before Lord Krishna. When one falls down before a superior just like a stick, one's offering of obeisances is called dandavat. Danda means stick, and vat means like. It is not that one should simply say dandavat, rather one must fall down. Thus, Brahma fell down, touching his forehead to the lotus feet of Krishna, and his crying in ecstasy is to be regarded as an abhisheka, bathing ceremony of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. He who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact the Absolute Truth, Parabrahman. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti, that is, he resembles a human being. It is not that he is four-armed, chaturbahu. Narayan is chaturbahu, but the Supreme Person resembles a human being. This is also confirmed in the Bible, where it is said that man was made in the image of God. Lord Brahma saw that Krishna, in his form as a cowherd boy, was Parabrahman, the root cause of everything, but was now appearing as a human child, loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand. Astonished, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and let his body fall to the earth. Usually the demigods never touch the ground, but Lord Brahma, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy, Krishna. It is mentioned that Brahma washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears, and here the word sujalaihi indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as bhakti is present, everything is purified. Sarvo padhi vinir muktam. Therefore, Brahma's crying was a form of bhaktianubhava, a transformation of transcendental, ecstatic love. Umagnanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha namasreshtam anamapi shachiputram atrasvarupam rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prabto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tamnatosmi vandeham shri guru shri atav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsa shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhan vitamscha guru vaishnav bhagavan tine smarane hoy vigna vinashan anaya shai hoy nijavan chita puran hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare brahma saw a little boy running around in Vrindavan who he previously thought was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Seeing Krishna running around like an ordinary boy, Brahma became doubtful, and in a moment of rashness, which turned out to be nourishing to the pastimes of Krishna, transcendentally inspired rashness, he stole the calves and cowherd boys who were accompanying Krishna. So it was with great doubt and maybe some indignation also that What's he? He's supposed to be Narayan, and what is this boy? Is he an imposter? What exactly Brahma was thinking, we can only conjecture. But now he's seeing the same form, and his attitude has changed by the mercy of Krishna. He was very puffed up. Maybe hard not to be puffed up if you're in such a position. Why do people become proud? Actually, there's no reason to become proud, but some people have something to be proud of. Some people are proud and they don't really have anything to be proud about. But some people are clearly above others in some sphere. As I often quote, Cassius Clay, 1964, heavyweight boxing champion at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, declared, "I am the greatest." Later he became Muhammad Ali and said, "No, I'm not the greatest. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest." But some people, due to their previous pious activities, are awarded sufficient facilities to stand above others. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri. Some by their birth, some by their opulence, which they may acquire by their intelligence and their learning. Some are very beautiful. Usually the opulences, or often the opulences, go together. We don't often find someone who is, well, yeah, we do find people who are good-looking and stupid, but usually people who are well-to-do are also well-educated, intelligent. And naturally, everyone can see they're more, they're something better. And they are respected for being something more and something better. They're human beings, like us. They eat, sleep, mate, and defend, but they're in a superior position. Just to give a local example, we have our Lakshmi Chand. He's not an ordinary person in this city of Salem. He's a big businessman, and not everyone can be like that. You have to have a certain kind of intelligence and drive, perseverance, and it takes certain qualities. It's not simply by chance that someone gets into that position. People respect him. It's normal and natural, you could say, to respect someone who's capable, well-to-do. He's also employing many people. And then we have, in talking about businessmen, successful businessmen, in quite a notch up, is a businessman who has a factory, has many factories, but he has one in Medcha, what's it called? Medcha, that where the dam is? Mechuri, is it? This Anil Agarwal, he has a... Mettur, that's where the dam is it? Yeah. He has a factory there, and many factories. He's a very big businessman. So again, it's not just any ordinary person who can do, who has the insight and the vision and the intelligence to set up various factories and businesses and oversee them and take the strain and go on with life. So naturally, such people are respected. And then if you go, we're talking about the big league of business people, but then even much bigger is another Anil. Anil Ambani is a very, very big man, not an ordinary person. And then if we go up further, then we come to the Elon Musk and the Jeff Bezos. And they're not ordinary people. They have some very great abilities, and they're respected for that. What to speak of Lord Brahma? He's way, way, way above any of these people. So it's not surprising if he becomes puffed up in one sense. But actually, if one is God-conscious, one shouldn't become too puffed up. And we see that also talking about Lakshmi Chand. He's a devotee, comes to the temple. Anil Agarwal comes pretty much daily to our temple in central London and sometimes leads the kirtan. He's a pretty good kirtan leader, actually. Listens to the class, at least when I go. I don't know if he listens every day. Sometimes he listens. So, humility is the opposite of pride. And humility is a required quality for being Krishna conscious, being God conscious, and just for being sane. Because however big we are, we're very small in relation to Krishna, as Brahma is realizing. Received about 2 years ago a bunch of quotes on all different topics compiled by my godbrother Maheshwar Prabhu, so from various sources. And we see that many people who are not in Krishna consciousness per se by the grace of Paramatma, have insights into the human psychology and the workings of the world. And I'm going to read some of the quotes he gave about humility. One is from John Flavel, I think it's pronounced. I have no clue who he is, but he says, "They that know God will be humble. They that know themselves cannot be proud." Very good quote. So God consciousness, of course, presumably he's from a Christian background, almost certainly, whoever he may be. But whatever we may say about Christianity, if you're actually that, have that sense of God consciousness, then you must be humble. And if you know yourself, you cannot be proud. This is understood by Brahma now. Of course, he's a great devotee. We shouldn't think of it. Even among Brahmas, he's special in as much as he's a pure devotee. But he went through some series of, because he had other times also, which Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the previous purport, when he came to Dwaraka, this would be a little later, and became humbled again to understand that he's Brahma, but he's not the only Brahma, and he's the smallest Brahma of all. If one can be in a great position and still be humble, and still be a devotee, that is a great quality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Dine re adhik daya kare Bhagavan, kulin pandit dhanir bharo abhiman." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, particularly favors the lowly and downtrodden. And those who have high birth, kulin means high birth, who are wealthy, who are learned, they tend to be very proud. It's not necessarily true, because we see in the very pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prataparudra Maharaj, he had high birth, opulence, he was well learned, we can understand, because at least he understood Sanskrit. We know that because he had Rai Ramananda compose a drama in Sanskrit. He asked him to make one. And presumably he was good looking, generally. Kshatriyas, as Srila Prabhupada points out in one purport, they're generally good looking. So he had all these, but he was very, very humble. And of course, there are many, many instances of this also. We also have in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who appeared to be a great sensualist, but actually he was a great devotee. To get the post of Brahma is not easy. It requires tremendous piety, but there's a trick built into the whole system of material existence, is that if you're pious, you get good karma and good results, and then you have opportunities to enjoy or dominate in this world, and then you tend to become proud. It's snakes and ladders. You go up, you go down. You never quite make it to 100. You have to have the mercy of fate in the form of dice, but that doesn't count in Krishna consciousness. God doesn't play dice with the universe. Someone who became Brahma, but who wasn't affected by that, we find out in the writings of Sanatan Goswami, to whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this verse, "Dine re adhik daya." He wrote about Gopakumar, who became Lord Brahma by Gopakumar is wandering throughout the universe, searching for Krishna. He came to the planet of Lord Brahma, and by chance, you could say, he became Lord Brahma. It wasn't, because usually you don't change Brahma, but it so happened that one day Brahma, out of curiosity, just touched, what's this, some foam that was in the water of devastation. Out of that came a big demon. And Brahma became afraid and ran away. And then Vishnu killed the demon, but Brahma was so afraid he didn't come back. So Vishnu said, okay, Gopakumar, you become Brahma. So he did for a short time. So Gopakumar said, even though I was encumbered with the post of the supreme authority, he didn't like to have that. And he didn't, because of this having to manage, look over the universe and so many things and so many rituals and people, he became fed up with being Brahma after a short time. But anyway, he described, even though I was encumbered with the post of the supreme authority in the universe, even though I was glorified in various ways by the Maharshis, the Brahmarshis, and the personified Vedas, Agamas, Puranas, Itihasas, sacrifices, and pilgrimage sites, and even though I was surrounded by great sources of delight, I did not give up my natural simplicity. Gopakumar is intrinsically, constitutionally, a resident of Vrindavan, so he's naturally very simple, not only in the way he dresses, but his whole attitude to life. He's not much inclined to all this dum-dam, it means this, all this pomp and show. The commentary on this, given by Gopi Parandana Prabhu: without the strong spiritual qualifications of true humility and devotion to the Supreme, no one could avoid becoming intoxicated by the material power and facility for enjoyment given to Gopakumar. He now had the highest position in the universe with seemingly unlimited opulences. The greatest sages and the revealed scriptures and the sacrifices personified all attended him in his court, singing his praises and presenting themselves for service at his pleasure. Nonetheless, he did not think of himself as someone special, as anything other than a humble devotee of the Lord of the universe, Sri Madan Gopal. So we find here that Brahma is bowing down like a golden rod, which signifies humility. And Srila Prabhupada says here, one shouldn't simply say dandavat. Sometimes people come out, oh, dandavat. But it's required to bow down. And that is supposed to show humility. Of course, there can be what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati referred to as pretentious bowing down. But this physically bowing down helps to solidify the mode of humility that we are trying to imbibe. Or if we're actually humble, then bowing down comes automatically, which happened in the case of Lord Brahma now. He fell down like a golden rod. And there are other emotions also of Lord Brahma. Joy is mentioned here. He's bathing Krishna's lotus feet with the tears of joy from his eyes. The word abhishekam is there in the Sanskrit. In the translation, it just says bathing, because the sense of a ritual, ceremonial bath or bath offering great, it's a symbol of offering great respect, that is lost. There's no such word in there's no word like that. I believe previously in the in the European traditions, they would have something like that for a king when they he'd be installed by the Pope, is it? And they'd have something like that, bathing, something like that. But there's no such sense. It gets lost in the translation. So there are other emotions. Brahma, as we'll find from his prayers, is also feeling, he's feeling joy and remorse at the same time, regret, remorse. Humility is a prominent emotion here. He's feeling himself to be very small. Krishna's mercy on Brahma, he made him feel very small. So this is real humility. There can be humility just for show. Often we say about people, well, we may say, well, he's a very humble person. But if that person is given an opportunity to be overseeing others and have some powers over others, and we'll see if they're actually humble. Humility or being soft-spoken, compliant with others, it can be, it's socially, it can be a social device for surviving in the world. If we find that we're not very strong, then it's better to follow the strong instead of resisting them. And that's the mentality behind it. Of course, not everyone works it out like that. Not everyone is so calculating, and people, according to their previous activities and the association they've had in this life, their character is formed in a different way. It's not a bad thing by any means to be soft-spoken and cooperative. Generally, these are considered very good qualities, but I'm just making the point that they're not in and of themselves equivalent to the humility of a devotee who realizes I'm very small in relationship to Krishna. Then again, and this is another quotation from another person who I've never heard of, Tryon Edwards, says that true humility is not an abject, groveling, self-despising spirit. It is but a right estimate of ourselves as God sees us. So this excessive show of humility, which we sometimes see among Vaishnavas, we used to see among Vaishnavas in Bengal, because they know that humility is a quality of Vaishnavas. So sometimes it seemed to me like they were almost acting in humility and being very showing a spirit of intense self-effacement. There's one character I can't remember, but he's saying that this is not real humility. Real humility is a right estimate of ourselves as God sees us. In other words, God sees us as being very small. Of course, Krishna, being a person, doesn't see as we might see others who are smaller than us. In the power equation that is life in the material world, we size up other people. How is this person? It's more powerful than me, less powerful than me, equal to me. How are we going to interact with them? We work it out and we adjust accordingly. So if we see someone who's much inferior to us socially, then that could give us some idea of how God sees us, because how small we are. But then God doesn't see us the way that we might see others who are inferior to us socially, because he's not in that kind of mood, calculating how to dominate others. He naturally dominates others, but he sees with the eyes of love. But anyway, you get the idea. False humility, there are a few quotes about this. One from Oliver Wendell Holmes. Humility is the first of virtues for other people. Cynical. Did you follow that? In other words, you're saying it's very good to be humble. Tell other people to be humble. There was some caricature of that we used to see way back in the bad old days of ISKCON, of the big leader telling everyone to be humble. Everyone else should be humble. You should follow your authority, and they are the authority. So using that to dominate others. Of course, one should be humble before the authority, but spiritual authority comes not just for being in a position, but by actually having spiritual qualities. Here's a quote from John Selden. Humility is a virtue all men preach and none practice, and yet everybody is content to hear. The master thinks it good doctrine for his servants, the laity for the clergy, and the clergy for the laity. You'd think that the clergy would think it's a good quality for the laity, but the laity also thinks it's a good quality for the clergy. I don't know how much all of you can understand all of these terms I'm saying. This is English a bit above the kindergarten level. Can you follow? Govardhan, Daridas, clergy, laity. The concept almost became lost in Russia for 80 years or so. Clergy means the monks and the priests, and the laity means the ordinary Christians who are not ordained. A quote from François de la Rochefoucauld, and I'm glad there's no one French here to tell me how badly I pronounce that. Without humility, we keep all our defects, and they are only crusted over by pride, which conceals them from others and often from ourselves. You follow that? That what he's saying is that unless we're humble, then we're going to have all other kinds of faults, which might not be seen because we proudly act as if they're not faults. And others can't see them, and we ourselves can't see them. From Anonymous, many would be scantily clad if clothed in their humility. In other words, if we had to dress in clothes made out of humility, then many people wouldn't be wearing much. Then a quote from who sent me, he himself threw in a quote, Maheshwar Prabhu. Those who boast the most with the least hesitation are usually the ones who have the least to be proud of. So awkward feelings when speaking about oneself are symptoms of a good heart and soul. One should feel awkward when speaking about oneself, not boasting. Then a traditional saying, it says here, which means, again, we don't know where it came from. This is a play on the English language. Maybe it comes out in other languages also. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. In other words, instead of thinking about yourself all the time, and then time to time reminding, oh, actually, I'm not very great. But if we don't even think about ourselves, that's more natural humility. From, not sure how to pronounce this, some Roman name. Is it Cicero or Cicero? The higher we are placed, the more humbly we should walk. Good saying. Okay. Now, from, to quote from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we were speaking about Sri Radha, in the Radha Katha, just on Radhashtami. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that what to speak of the other gopis, even Sri Radhika, who in every respect is the most elevated of them all and who has bound Sri Krishna forever by her loving attributes, serves his feet as his maidservant. So she is the most elevated and she's bound up Krishna by her loving attributes, but she still takes a position as his maidservant. She doesn't take her superiority as a means to torture others or proclaim her greatness. She's happy to be not known. Let Krishna be known. Then Krishna takes her position to give some idea to the world of how great she is. Quote from Srila Prabhupada, quoting on the word, the first word that comes in the description of the qualities necessary for acquiring knowledge is amanitvam. First one is amanitvam and the second one is adambitvam. So Srila Prabhupada here translates amanitvam as humility and adambitvam as pridelessness. We find also in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Rai that the entrance into devotional service is Gane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva, giving up the endeavor to try to understand everything by our own intelligence. One should simply become humble. Then he goes on to say, we should hear about Krishna from devotees. But first of all, the attitude with which we should hear. Otherwise, we can hear, but if we don't have the right attitude, then it won't work. That's why, Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tobuto Napai Krishna Pade Prema Dhan. Even in many lifetimes of hearing and chanting about Krishna, we don't get love of Krishna. It all depends on the attitude. We may be making offenses instead of actually serving Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport to this series of verses, I believe it's chapter 13, text 8 to 12, he's describing humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. That translates amanitvam, that one is not desirous that others should praise me. Srila Prabhupada speaking to a Christian priest in Germany said, humility means intelligence. That we've seen also in these other quotes that simply to know one's position in relationship to God. We see Brahma so intelligent, but his intelligence became covered by thinking he's very great. Now he's actually become intelligent and understands I'm very small. So humility means intelligence. The humble and meek own the kingdom of God. This is stated in the Bible, is it not? But the philosophy of the rascals is that everyone is God, and today this idea has become popular. Therefore, no one is humble and meek. If everyone thinks that he is God, why should he be humble and meek? Therefore, I teach my disciples how to become humble and meek. They always offer their respectful obeisances in the temple and to the spiritual master. So this bowing down, that's part of the sadhana to help us become humble and meek, without which bhakti doesn't work. Everything else we're doing doesn't work. They always offer their respectful obeisances in the temple and to the spiritual master, and in this way they make advancement. In this regard, there's one anecdote. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in Hare Krishna land in Bombay, and one disciple came the other way and just walked past, didn't bow down. So when he saw Srila Prabhupada said, that is the beginning of his fall down. He didn't fall down to offer obeisances, and that's the beginning of his fall down. The qualities, Srila Prabhupada says, the qualities of humbleness and meekness lead very quickly to spiritual realization. In the Vedic scriptures, it is said to those who have firm faith in God and the spiritual master, who is his representative, the meaning of the Vedic scriptures is revealed. So humility is a very great subject, which should be discussed from time to time. It's so important. This is the mood with which Brahma will now offer his prayers coming up in the next chapter. And in a few days we have the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. Brahma took the position of Haridas Thakur in great humility and exhibited tremendous humility in chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we can understand from the character of Haridas Thakur the meaning of the Trinadapi Sunichana verse, that thinking oneself very lowly, being extremely tolerant, not wanting praise, wanting to praise others, this is Haridas Thakur. So I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment, please. Say it now. So, Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.